Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. It is so good to be back. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Austin. Yeah, it's good to be here with you another week. It is roasting hot outside, but
it feels like stepping into a broiler.
Yeah, but we are in a nice air-conditioned space, and hopefully you are too if you're listening.
Yes,
but,
I know some of you listen on the lawnmower, and to those of you who are listening on the lawnmower right now, Godspeed, because this week is crazy.
Yeah, maybe by the time you're listening, it'll be cooler. So.
Yes, we're manifesting that for yeah. you for sure. Oh, man. Well, Dan, I was looking up trivia for this, and I fell down a rabbit hole. as I tend to, as I'm sure all of you who are listening have noticed, I tend to fall down these rabbit holes quite often. But I was looking, I was like, okay, you know, we were talking about the raven and the dove.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, let's learn a little bit about that. And as I started looking up ravens, I got weirded out by how fascinating these creatures are. So just some interesting tidbits first off. A group of ravens is called an unkindness of ravens. Although we can use flock, I think unkindness is a wild name for... I mean, better, I guess, than a murder of crows?
Right, yeah.
Still weird how that ended up.
Interesting name, interesting. Yeah.
They can live up to 40 years old in captivity. And this blew me away. They have some can have the functional intelligence of a four-year-old human. Mm. So let's take a four-year-old human in our eyes. We all know what that's like, all the energy, all the chaos, all the fun, and then give them wings.
Yeah, right.
And this is just a creature that exists on the Earth. It's a toddler with wings and a beak. And that's just crazy when you really sit down and think about it. And in fact, the more I researched these ravens, the more I'm like, wow, they're using tools like sticks and rocks to get food, to defend themselves. They can plan ahead.
Mm.
They can store food in advance for seasons of less, and then we'll go back and, like, they remember this. Like, squirrels try it. They don't succeed. Ravens actually succeed. And actually, a bunch of scientists have proposed that ravens have officially entered the Stone Age.
Mm.
As a species, they're now developed enough that they are using stone tools, which is... wild. And so I don't have trivia for this in the original sense, but I'm dealing with this existential crisis.
Mm.
Because now there's these birds that can think like a toddler can think, can use tools like a society can think. And so that made me, I know this isn't your area of specialty, but what is your thoughts on creatures, specifically ravens in this case, that have developed? Do you think that they could one day be considered sentient?
Hmm.
And if they can be considered sentient, would we need to evangelize to them?
That's great. That's I'm kind of fascinated by things like this. You know, another creature that has proven to be obviously quite intelligent and has some communicative, not even abilities within their species, but seemingly outside of that is dolphins.
Yes, dolphins.
Right.
Also on the list of, like, groups and species that are officially in the Stone Age, according to scientists. So it's dolphins, a whole bunch of monkeys, corvids, which are ravens and crows, and actually octopi.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right. I have not looked into the octopi very much. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting when you say that. I think about how, in the story of Scripture, our relationship to creation, and, of course, including the animal, the bird world, and all of that. And clearly, there's supposed to be a good, loving, symbiotic relationship between us as human beings and creatures. I don't know what evangelism might look like, you know, as far as communication.
Did Jesus die for crow sins?
Yeah. But in general, right? I mean, creation awaits, you know, the day when things are made full, right? And the kind of that, the children of God coming back to where we're supposed to be. And so I think part of what growing in our faith looks like, too, is understanding more of how we're supposed to relate to creation, whatever that might be. And yeah, maybe people will look at us today in 2024 from a couple hundred years ago and be like, oh, wow, I can't believe they're doing those kind of things with creatures or with the environment around them, hopefully in good ways. But yeah, so you don't know a couple hundred years from now what that might look like either. Mm-hmm. But it is fascinating. I think we should have an appreciation, given some of the stats and facts you shared there, Austin, just for God's power and love in creation. And just talking with someone else recently about, I know there's lots of, you know, back and forth in the Christian community and the scientific community about how species develop and with evolution and all this. For me, when we talk about this, I just see the power of God, right, at work, and how, of course, he's made creatures to live out of his love. And so, like you said, for a raven to discover ways toward life, to me, I see God behind that, designing them in a way so that life can continue and they can thrive in that and flourish. And I think we're called to celebrate that and, of course, worship the Lord as the one who's driving all this. And, yeah, so I don't know what evangelism would look like, but part of that is singing the song with the rest of creation.
Absolutely,
so.
And appreciating creation as we see it and the creativity of our Father. What I did find interesting was that actually the Catholic Church has done a lot of thinking on this. Mm. Back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s when Star Wars was released.
Of course.
They actually put together a group to be like, okay, what if aliens are real? What would we have to do? You know, and at least according to what the Catholics have decided, they're like, you know what? Jesus came to die for the sins of humans. And so aliens wouldn't necessarily need to be ministered to.
Right,
But yeah, just interesting to think.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine being like on whatever committee it was that they were like, okay, guys, we're all going to get together. And I need you to like figure out, do aliens have souls?
We need some theology here. Yeah.
Honestly, that would be my dream job.
Somebody's asking the question. So,
absolutely. Yeah. All right. We will now refocus away from that, though, and talk about the sermon from last week. Dan, could you give us a summary and a recap of what we talked about?
So the raven discussion was coming right out of the text, of course. We were in Genesis chapter 8, which is really in the middle of the story of Noah and the flood and the ark and all that, which really goes from chapter 6 through chapter 9. And pick that chapter because that's really where you see the turn in the story from really just the outpouring of God's judgment and wrath for what his creation and the rebellion of humanity has gone to how God is determined then to work graciously with creation. And even though human beings haven't changed in that sense, he wants to go forward and promises to work toward life with them. And so we talked about just a couple the scenes really in that chapter and how they're so fitting for seasons we go through in life. You know, it's very dark as we come into the chapter and we go through seasons like that. And then we have seasons where we're starting to see some new hope and new beginning and how do we step into that faithfully. And then other times when we're like, wow, it's amazing. We're kind of here. We're at this time when this new thing's come in our lives and it's just great. And how do we live faithfully in that too? So there's a lot in that story that you can reflect on. And I think that's because it's so fundamental to human life and to our relationship with God. At its core, of course, this is about God and his heart and his love for his people. You see the tension in the Lord, I believe, between his holiness and his justice. Like, sin is not something he can just let alone. He has to deal with it. It has to be judged. But then he has this love and this passion for his creation, and that can't just be snuffed out either. How's he going to work this out? And you see that, almost that dilemma or the struggle going on in the heart of God as it's written up in the story. And of course, this looks forward to how he will, in himself, in Jesus Christ, satisfy these things. So just, I love the story. I've preached it, different parts of this text in different ways over the years, but I'm always learning also from it myself.
It is so good. Before I dive into my questions, was there anything that you thought about including in the sermon for Sunday but didn't?
Not too much. Like I said, there's other chapters around this that get into lots of, there's other interesting things there, like when Noah's building the ark and the other people are interacting with him. And this is more like we come in, right, you know, the 40 days and 40 nights have already been happening. Really all of creation outside of the ark is gone. So there's other things. I mean, chapter 9 gets into a whole other, you know, God says words there about not shedding the blood of human beings. So in the larger story, there's lots of interesting things. In this chapter, there wasn't, other than just some maybe interesting factoids or something like that, there wasn't big themes that I felt, I got to leave that out. I think we'll talk about this, and this is why we do the podcast, some further thoughts about application and, you know, specifics maybe about what that could look like and time to explore that.
Yeah.
We'll do that here together. But
perfect. So then I guess we might as well dive right into that. So we kind of talked about four seasons. We explicitly talked about like three of them. I kind of pulled four out. And just again, for a little framing of this, the first is the season of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, the world has been destroyed. It is completely flooded. Noah and the Ark, that's what remains of society and humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It looks hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
There is then the season of hope, though, which they're still not seeing any hope in this, but God remembers them.
Mm-hmm.
And God is still doing his work.
Mm-hmm.
Which then brought them into what I have termed the season of sight, which is when the waters are starting to lower. It's not safe to leave yet. You're not safe to go into this new season, this new world.
Yeah.
But you're able to start interacting with it. And you start sending out feelers to be like, okay, what's God's plan going to be? Where am I going to be placed?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the season of open doors, which is, you know, where Noah and his family, their land, they're settled. They're free to rebuild, and they start out with worship. And I felt like that four-season cycle was so relatable because that's pretty much what happens anytime we're going through a major life challenge. You know, you get the normal destroyed. We're kind of left adrift and floating, but God is still there doing his thing. Slowly, shapes of our future start to come back. We start interacting with the world, and finally we're in the new stage. I actually feel like COVID was a really good way of you know, there was that first season of darkness. The world was upside down that first 2-3 months. Nobody knew what was going on.
Right.
We didn't know how serious it was. And then slowly we got into this season of everything. Still, we're struggling a lot, but God is starting to inspire scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And he's starting to give, you know, revelations to people. And, like, we're starting to make our way through this. Season of sight, well, finally, you know, it starts to lessen. We're able to start doing things again. And then finally, what we're in now, we're in the season of open doors.
Mm-hmm.
We've put the crazy elements of that period behind us, and we're now in a new world.
Right, more settled.
In, and more starting to be able to, okay, what's our role as Christians in this new world? Which is incredibly encouraging just to know that this is a cycle that is the human experience that we've been experiencing since Noah.
Sure,
and we're going to keep doing this and over and over and over. But it's another thing entirely to, when you're in the middle of that, be aware that the end is there. I know I remember, especially during COVID, that first few months where I was like, is this ever going to end?
Yeah.
Like, what are we even, like, what's even happening here? There's on more personal levels, I could even talk about, you know, our immigration fiasco and the first time when Danica got sent back to Canada. I'm like, what's the, I got nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
This is, it's one, so it's one thing to, again, know that there is land on the other side.
Yeah.
There is an open door on the other side, but it's quite another thing to be living in that and remember that. So I was just wondering if you have any suggestions for what we can do to hold on to hope during those initial seasons where we're not seeing anything.
Yeah. That's a great question, and boy, there's so many thoughts even having talked about this just a couple days ago. There's just new things, even as you were talking, Austin, coming to mind. I was just thinking to myself as you were talking about COVID how it makes so much sense. When we go through a dark season that we end up in kind of a new spot. So as a pastor, right, we've seen a lot of people movement from churches and that post-COVID. And even as you're talking, I'm like, well, that really makes a lot of sense because when you come through a season like that and there's been a lot of challenges and some experience that more than others, a lot of times we do need to land somewhere new to kind of, that's part of the growing out of this. And sometimes as a pastor in those cases, you're upset about it or whatever, but there's it makes a lot of sense. Anyways, to get back to your question about, what do we do? You know, one thing that comes to mind right away is, if you've had the opportunity to travel with the Lord over some seasons, you've seen this before. And it's always brand new. Whatever you're going through now is everything, right? You might have been through some crises before, but trying to remember how the Lord has been with you, how he's walked with you, how he's brought you out of, you know, the muddy mire and set you up in a high place, right? And, just bringing that to mind gives hope to know that, okay, this isn't forever. And, of course, that's the overall message of the gospel, that, you know, for the disciples, when Jesus talks to them right before he goes to the cross, you know, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I will overcome the world. Your grief will turn into joy and things like that. And so that's a big thing, to being cognizant of the things and the ways that the Lord has walked with us before. You know, we often feel like we're by ourselves in those moments. I gave the example of being in a cave. And many have done that before, and it seems like from talking to a few people, no matter which cave you're in, they always turn the lights out to give you that experience, which makes sense. But when they do that, it really feels, even though you know I'm still sitting next to my family or friends right next to me, it feels like you're alone because you can't see anything. And that's all, the darkness is everything, right? And to think of that psalm that ends on that very dark moment, the darkness is my only friend, maybe makes sense in that context. It's the only thing I can see. At any rate, those people are there. And so trying to take those steps to engage, to surround ourselves with people who can sit with us like Job's friends did well at the start, and maybe also provide some perspective for us and give some insights, that can be helpful. Just the people encouraging us along the way, and maybe they also are relaying some points like, hey, you know, the Lord's still here. We're still here. We're giving a picture of that. We're not going to, you know, let you go in this time. So, which is also advice if you see a loved one in a dark spot, to not just abandon them in the midst of that.
Yeah, and I think especially one thing when you see a loved one going through that is, and just important, or it's important to do this anyways in any interaction, but especially if you know someone's really going through it, be intentional with giving extra grace and reaching out and being like, hey, like, I know you're going through it. That's okay to be going through it. I'm here for you. Even because, again, like, if they can't see a way out, but they've got someone else who can come and feel and give them that reassuring pat, like, I'm not.
Right. Still here.
Yeah.
Yep. I know you just walked into that wall, but let's turn this way, you know. So those are a couple of things. Obviously, the spiritual disciplines we talk about, and it can sound, you know, just all the court, prayer and scripture, but those kind of things are important for a good reason, you know, because when we go through times like this, even when it seems like, man, I don't know what's happening, we're still there, or we can express like the psalmists do. I was just reading Lamentations this morning, Jeremiah, you know, and just crying out about the fall of Jerusalem, and it's the exact phrase is in there. You've forgotten us. Why do you keep forgetting us? Like, look on us. And obviously God can take that expression, even if he hasn't, and he's right there. We sometimes need to say it, and he wants us to be able to say that. So that's another way to walk through the darkness, so to speak, is just to address God and how you're feeling. And I trust you're there, but I don't see you right now, and I don't want to be forgotten. So,
As we navigate out of those seasons, we enter obviously what, you know, what I call that season of sight, you know, where which is where, okay, the waters are starting to lower. You're starting to see mountains in the distance, but it's still not something you can land on yet. You're starting to see what the other side might look like, but you don't know exactly what it's going to be. And one of the things that you addressed was the fact that Noah was making sure he used the right tools for the job he was trying to accomplish. He was trying to find land, so he took these tools, these birds, one of which has, aside from being super smart, is a really long-range flyer, you know, and was kind of like able to use these almost like a radar thing, you know, okay, once the long-range one isn't coming back, then I'll do the short-range one. If the short-range one doesn't come back, I know we're here, basically. How does that translate to our spiritual lives? What does it mean to use the right tools for the job on the spiritual sense? And how do we know if we need to change the spiritual tools we're using? Noah changed his tool from, you know, obviously it was both birds. But like he changed his approach. What does that look like on a spiritual level for us?
I think there's a lot in this particular season to think about. And maybe because I find it the most exciting. We talked about adventuring in faith with the Lord, exploring with him, and it's good to see maybe new possibilities on the horizon, but we need to walk in faith in it. And so, yeah, what does that look like? We talked about using the tools that make sense for us, that God's put at our disposal, like prayer, like scripture, like being in fellowship and worship with the Christian community, talking with others about it. You know, it's good to get feedback from others, like, hey, does this seem like I'm pushing in the right direction? But yeah, I think there does need to be some intentionality. Maybe at the outset, it's just a prayer of like, God, we have a sense you're going to bring about some renewal. Help us to see what that might be, you know, even how we begin to lean into this with you. And then maybe we start seeing, you know, God's opening the door for this ministry to an immigrant community. And so now you're starting to pray like, Lord, more specifically, how do we serve that community? You've led us there. We see how you're working renewal. But now we need your help to see how we put that together more specifically. Kind of like the dove, like, all right, we see the target zone now. It's getting closer. And so just taking those steps maybe in specificity for prayer or in planning. You know, we have time usually where our council and our staff gets together here at Friendship. We try to be intentional about that. We really started this just a year or so ago. And we got together, for instance, like last year, and we talked about the overall ministry of the church and where our ministry is targeted. Are there areas maybe we are missing? And we said, yeah, there's some spots here that I think we all agreed, like, we could use some more our targeting here, and especially for kind of our younger 20 to 30 to 35, that kind of age group. And so when we meet again now, we can't just do that same thing. We can't just send out that raven again. That was very good, meaningful work. It was exploring with the Lord. But now we need to say, okay, we know there's land. Now how do we go specifically there? What does that ministry look like to that, you know, segment of the population? How do we do that? You know, what resources might we need and to plan in that regard? And then maybe another time after that, there's, you know, some things are going, but we need to tweak some things. So I think that continued exploration, so maybe it gets to a point where the ark door opens, you say, wow, there's a flourishing ministry here to that group. Remember 5 years ago when we were talking about, you know, we didn't have anything there or there was languishing or whatever. So I think that constant revisiting, and again, that's a great example of Noah, like, seeing where things were at. Oh, the raven must have landed now, so we need the lower elevation bird. And if he's finding seedlings, we know things are growing and we're getting close, right? And so I think for us too, whether even that's reading scripture, and maybe there's specific things that we need to read and focus on as we're going through a certain process versus maybe another. And even conversations, I think that flows into just even meeting agendas, right? Of kind of how we're focusing and trying to seek the Lord's will. So there's so much there, and I think collectively as a church, we just barely touched on it, but I think it starts out with, we know from Scripture some ministries that are close to God's heart because he says it all the time. You know, mercy ministries toward those in need and those who typically don't have much support. Evangelism, you know, we talked about that with the ravens, but with people, right, you know, reaching the lost or those who are wandering from the faith, making disciples, right? And that those processes, like, let's lean into those ministries because we know the Lord is in those. And then maybe we'll see more specifics of where we need to really focus in that. And maybe open doors come up as we dive into that, new relationships and ministries maybe we could partner with. So I think individually and collectively, this is a word, let's adventure with the Lord. He didn't speak at that point yet to Noah. He doesn't talk until he tells him, get out of the ark. And so at that point, it's just an exploration. God's working. We're aware of it. Where is he leading us? And I think that's just faith at work.
Well, thanks for that one. One thing that we talked about at the very end, and this is the last season, you know, when they get out of the boat, these doors are open. The very first thing Noah does and what we should do is worship the Lord. Mm. You know, when we're entering these new seasons, whether they're big or small, it's important to both start out on the right foot and to acknowledge the role God has played in the past and will play in the future. We talked a bit about how we did that here at Friendship when Friendship moved to the new building, starting out with worship. Mm. But this is also something that I think is really important for us to practice, not only as a larger institutional body, but as individuals.
Yeah.
This is something that, you know, my wife and I have moved around a lot. And one of the things we do anytime we enter a new place is, okay, we're going to pray over the place where we're going to be living, and we're going to take communion together. That's one of our ways that we start off whatever this new season in this new place is with worship. And I was wondering if you have anything that you do or things that might be good for people to pick up as just, you know, this might be a good option for people to practice worship on a more individual or family level.
Yeah. You know, Austin, I think you just asking the question is inspiring anybody who's listening, right, to think about it. Because there's not necessarily a right answer there. But the thought, you know, even you asking me is encouraging me, you know, to think about different ways. Because, yeah, you know, with you, too, we've moved a few times. And that practice of, you know, as we're moving or getting to the new place of, you know, praying for the Lord's blessing and presence, you know, significant moments, right, as you're maybe kind of propose, you know, marriage to someone, or you're getting married, or maybe a child is born, but there's so many things. We just started a new school year here. And I didn't do this, but it's a thought, you know, like with the family to say, hey, let's make sure we offer this new season to the Lord. And yeah, it's excitement. There's also, we need the Lord's presence. And so just to spend that time maybe in prayer or acknowledging that in some way. It might be a new job you get. It might be just coming out of a season of poor health and, you know, strength returns. You're able to maybe, if you're younger, play sports again. Or we take those for granted, right? And I think I appreciate you asking this, Austin, because even personally, and the practice you and Danica have had, but there's lots of ways, as I think about it, that God's bringing us to new things often, and they're pointers to the gospel and to where he's directing us overall. And so, yeah, we want to be cognizant of that and just worshiping the Lord, giving thanks to him, really kind of reaffirming our relationship with him, even as we come to the new season, because it's easy to just enjoy it without acknowledging the
and
Lord's presence.
It's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of starting yes. a new season that you forget to be like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, we got here because God opened these doors and these doors and these doors.
Yes.
And we'll only be here if he continues to open yeah. these doors.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as an example, is we do this typically in a church setting, but with like the new ministry season coming up, we have a Sunday in September. We usually spend in prayer kind of commissioning leaders, but just the acknowledgement of all these things are only possible because the Lord, as you said, opened the door and said, walk out, you know, and we can exodus from the life of slavery to sin to a life serving him. And all these blessings we enjoy, yeah, whether it's, you know, even a new table, a kitchen table, dining room table yeah. that your family can join around, like, this is good. And it reminds us of the fellowship we have with the Lord, and so we want to praise him. And, yeah, I think in a lot of ways it's easy to pass by that. And so I think in asking the question, bringing it up for all of us here in this conversation, it's encouraging us to think of ways. And there's lots of ways we can worship. You're a singing family. Go for it. You're praying. You want to read scripture. You want to write something out that acknowledges like the Lord's presence. We do that with cornerstones in buildings, right? A lot of times, but you can do that at home in different ways, and different milestones. It's just good that the Israelites did a lot with the stones, the pillars, right,
yes.
and setting up things. And this will be a witness, and we're going to remember because then when you get to the dark spot, to bring this full circle, there it is, and you can be reminded. It kind of reminds me too of The Office, you know, the old sitcom, and
yeah.
I'm not going to get the quote probably exactly right. It's right up toward the end of the series when Andy Bernard says, I wish you knew you were in the good old days before you're out of them. You know,
yeah.
how do you know that? And so sometimes we just are going along through the motions. We don't realize what the Lord's doing and how he's blessing us. And we have even better days ahead. We know that too, but we want to appreciate and give thanks to the Lord for the blessings we have walking with him now. So,
amen to that. What can we be looking forward to next week?
So, yeah, Labor Day weekend coming up. So I know a lot of you will be traveling and doing different things. We're looking forward to worship together. And we're going to kind of bring this series to a close with one more in the Gospel of Matthew, the story of a wealthy young man who comes to Jesus with a question about eternal life. And in teaching about maybe what was holding this man back, being his wealth and his possessions and his love for that, Jesus gives an example about how difficult it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom. It's like a camel trying to pass through the eye of a needle. So that's our animal, the camel.
Nice.
Jesus uses as his example there. We'll talk about that, especially on Labor Day, because so much of our work can be geared toward getting more stuff and getting more money. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, in very subtle but brilliant ways, corrects this questioner right from the outset to put the focus back on God and about what getting into the kingdom entails, what it's all about. And I'm looking forward to getting into that and
stuff in that. So I'm mm-hmm. very excited for that as well. Well, thank you for joining me again, Dan. As always, I super appreciate these conversations. Thank you to all of you who are listening. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for you.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really awkward if we were just sitting talking to nobody. So thank you for being here. God bless, and we will see you next week.